I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you remember when we were friends in the 80s?
In the 80s.
Do you remember when we was friends back then?
It was acceptable then.
Those 40 years have gone so fast. Now we're two old cunts making a podcast. Just talking about when we were friends in the 80s.
In the 80s.
Remembering when we were young in the 80s.
Right, we're recording. Welcome to Acceptable in the 80s. You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. So it's we're in January 1981. It's a new year. Happy New Year.
Is it past the cut off though, isn't it?
Yeah. Have we got to start? No, I don't think we need to be doing Happy New Year now.
Happy Chinese New Year.
Has that happened yet?
I don't know.
All right. What's this episode? Is this four? Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Was it five?
I don't know.
It's January 1981.
That's all you need to know. So if this is your first time listening to this, what we do is, as we have been friends for 40 years, we thought it'd be a really good idea to go back 40 years every month, and we'll be talking about what music was out in the charts that year, what films come out that month, what was on the TV, what was happening in the, you know, in the world, you know, in news stories and such. And we'll kind of spin off of that with some daft stories of what we was doing back then and other sort of subsequent dumb things we've done that kind of tie into some of the things that we will cover in the things that happened in that very there month. We normally start with records that was in the charts. Do you want to continue with that theme or do you want to mix it up?
I'm not asked.
All right. Well,
let's start with records.
All right.
Or unless you've got something you want to start with.
No, not at all. I was just looking at it and the charts hadn't changed dramatically from the Christmas chart that we covered last month.
I did have a little look. There's a lot of John Lennon, isn't there?
Oh, so much John Lennon. I've said that. That's quite bad, isn't it? It's because he died that, obviously.
Selfish cunt.
But, yeah, there's three Lennons in the top ten, aren't there, if I'm right?
Yeah, there's a couple of others lurking around as well, aren't there? But I noticed today they were on a couple of different record labels. You had some on Geffen and some on Apple. Do you know the story behind that?
No.
No, I don't. I didn't go as far as to look it up. I just assumed you'd know.
I was like, oh, really? That's interesting. Go on, how did that happen? I don't know.
No, I found it was interesting, but I thought I'd ask you rather than Google it.
Oh, brilliant. All right. Well, no, yeah. I've no idea. Listeners, Google that.
Yeah, go and have a Google.
Collins.
Right. Yeah, he's in there within the air tonight, isn't he?
Yeah. What's your thoughts on that as a record?
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, it's clouded, obviously, isn't it, by him being a little cunt.
But right, I want to get back onto that.
Why does everyone think he's a cunt?
There was a point, because I was going to say, like, I've got the word bloke written next to Collins, right? Because, like, growing up in the 80s, like, Collins was like, he was like your local painter and decorator, wasn't he? He was just like, you know, a slightly funny little balding man that looked like one of your dad's mates.
Yeah.
And so I just always thought Collins was a bit of a fella. But then there must have been a point when he went from being a fella to a cunt.
What did he do?
Was he a tax exile?
I don't know.
But he also did he do the homeless song and he didn't give the money to the homeless?
Yeah, but when, you know, I don't want to talk about that. I think we should all just, yeah, to quote Boris Johnson, I think we all just need to move on from that.
Oh, brilliant. Well, yeah, we should acknowledge that this podcast has now kind of upped its celebrity status now, because you had a top five hit, right?
Yeah, I don't really like to talk about it, though.
All right, let's move on.
No, we should just cover it just for, so people aren't confused.
I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so ridiculous, it sort of feels like it never actually fucking happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, the weirdest week of my life. You know, like, every day, you fucking, like, you know, turn your phone on when you wake up in the morning, and then, like, you're in the Daily Mail, and then the next day you're in the Independent. It was just, like, you know that fucking 15 minutes of fame thing?
Yeah.
It was that. Just, and you're like, fucking hell. You know, and I was like a fucking dog with two dicks, like waking up like fucking 5:30 in the morning. You couldn't get back to sleep because it was just so fucking exciting. I thought I was well over all that, but no, it was fucking great.
Oh, and then it is great, mate. Absolutely great. And you know, most of the listeners, I'm sure, would have bought it and have been behind it. And you know, and as your mate and the rest of our mates, we all felt as excited as you, I'm sure.
It was just that thing of like. I, it was just so fucking exciting, you know, and also like just the idea that, you know, the content of the song, like, and it was probably the most simple song in my entire back catalogue, you know, with just seven words repeated over and over again, calling the Prime Minister a fucking cunt.
That's something that shouldn't be overlooked, because it's really weird, because I know, like, I've known you obviously 40 years and I'm completely immune to the subject matter of anything that you sing about, and you know, I've seen you previously, you know, mess around and trouble the charts with other releases. To see somebody in the hardest week of the year go top five with a song referring to our Prime Minister as a fucking cunt is incredible. Like, absolutely incredible. It's like, I mean, obviously we was chatting a lot around that time, and it was just really weird. Like, me mum and dad would be like, yeah, I bought his record. And I was like, did ya? He's like, yeah, well, you know, it's good, isn't it? And I was like, you know, it's good to see him getting on, isn't it? And I was like, the Prime Minister a cunt.
Do you know what? That was one of my... I was so fucking pleased that your parents got on board with it. That fucking makes me so happy. Like, probably one of the most joyous things for me was just like, looking down the chart, like when it was in the midweeks and stuff, just looking down the chart at all the song titles, and they're all just really nice, happy, Christmassy kind of song titles. And then just in the middle of it, Boris Johnson is a fucking cunt. Just nestled in amongst Merry Christmas, everyone. All these fucking messages of goodwill. And just this little bit of bile and hatred right in the middle of it, just fucking spoiling it for everyone.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, talking of sort of spoiling things of my parents, we should touch on an incident that happened once when that was your 15 minutes. But my 15 minutes was headlining a local music festival once, and in my band. And for some reason, I thought it was a good idea to ask you, who'd been drinking all day.
I got it. You wanted me to like be a part of the moment, and I was really honoured and touched that you should think of me to do that.
Yeah, but I wanted you to be like a hype man. I wanted you to be like a boxing announcer and just whip everyone up into a frenzy. Because like I thought, this is it. You know, all my pals are here, looking out there. Because obviously, in the previous band, my parents couldn't attend them shows because of the nature of what we were singing about. So this was like my proper band. You know, we was having a good spell. And we're headlining this local music festival. My mum and dad are out in the field. My mate's here. Let's ask him if he wants to introduce us. Yeah, no worries. Standing backstage with, you know, the rest of the band. Tell them what you said.
I can't remember.
Just get to the money shot.
I can't remember. It had some expletives in, though.
Welcome to the stage, this band of fucking cunts. Lilo. And I just thought, I think I might even high-five you as you walked off and I walked out. And I just thought, at that point, I was like laughing because I thought it was really funny. And then I sort of got to my keyboard and looked out and I thought, oh, my mum's there. And I just remember afterwards just going like, oh. And I think maybe that was the moment when she realised that's just what you do. And I think maybe that set it from then onwards, like for the, you know, the 20 or 25 years since then, she just kind of knows what you like. You know, you played me Stag Do. My dad was there for that as well, you know. You wanked and cried in front of him, I think.
He didn't feel out of place, though.
Yeah. I should also point out that the people that aren't massively familiar with your back catalogue, you didn't actually masturbate and sob in front of my dad.
I was just so sad you picked your future wife over me.
Oh, brilliant. Right. So Collins was in the charts with In the Air Tonight.
It's all right, In the Air Tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all right. Like, I think people think it's better than it is. There's only one good bit, isn't it? It's like...
What, the doof, doof?
Yeah.
Doof, 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 doof.
I've heard that too much now.
I think you've just heard it too much. I think it's a good record. What's your have you got any Collins records you like?
Yeah, of course. Against All Odds. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? I know, look, you're fucking... Ooh, we can't wait to say it. Come on, then.
It's just fucking brilliant, isn't it?
Hey? Eh?
And what about you?
There we go.
I mean, your favourite ever record's Easy Lover, you know?
I said that once when I was about 13.
I love that about fellas. That if one of their mates ever slips up, ever, it's like, banking that. I'll never let him forget that for the next 35 years.
I have to say, I reckon you have mentioned every week for the last fucking 37 years or whatever that my favourite record ever is Easy Lover.
Followed by Bridge to Your Heart by Wax. A couple of albums by Level 42.
Couple of albums. One album. That's your fault my first ever album was fucking, was it Running in the Family?
Yeah.
That's your fault. I had £4 burning a hole in my pocket. You're like, you should go and get an album.
Hey, do you know what? The music podcast I do, I always talk about people where they, you know, buy their records and things like that. And a lot of people will say, oh, where I live, there was like a toy shop and a record shop. And that was where we used to go, wasn't it? There was this like little shop that had sold toys and records. And I think it was shutting down and it was flogging off a load of stuff cheap. And I think, like you said, you had a couple of bob and I was like, yeah, I'll go in here, buy some records.
Yeah, because I'd never bought an album before.
Yeah. But I think, when would that have been, like, Running in the Family? What was that, 86, 87?
86, 87, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because I bought that on vinyl, and I bought a tape of Absolutely.
Madness. Yeah.
But some cunt fucking, when I was working for the youth service, I left it in my office. I didn't have my own office, but it was like a little fucking space in the corner of the office. I left it on my workstation, and this fucking cunt who was doing work experience there stole it.
There's nothing worse than helping yourself and abusing your position as a youth in the youth service. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. The police were in there with, I can't remember what Partridge's exact quote is, with their gibberish classic. Di-do-do-do-da-da-da, whatever it is. Rubbish.
Yeah, I've got no time for that. Did we talk about that last month?
I think we spoke about Don't Stand So Close to Me then.
Mm.
But just on the police, I was just trying to work out, obviously on one of the previous episodes we spoke about that time the phone rang in the phone box and we went to the police about that nonce.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the next interaction that me and you had with the police. And I've got something in mind that that I actually remembered and I was telling my mate Chris about the other day.
Is it me being a cunt?
No, no. I mean, right, you being a fucking idiot, but like not horrible. Can you remember when our mate Maloney worked in a kitchen fitters called Cole's Kitchens, like down near where I used to live?
And, along the Broadway, yeah.
Yeah, and opposite there was like this sort of... I mean, we've had a couple of strolls in lockdown past there, and I've purposely not mentioned it because I kept thinking, I want to talk about that on here. And there was like a kind of almost like a flat across the road that was owned by the people that owned that company. And Maloney nicked the key.
Yeah.
And threw a party in there. And a load of tough kids from Torrell's went there. And like, and you knew them, I think, because you'd gone to junior school with a lot of them. And I can't remember too much more about the night before it got raided. Have you got... I'll pick back up on the raid, but can you remember much about it previous to that?
No,
do you know what I'm talking about?
I know, yeah. The flat was kind of empty, wasn't it? There weren't anything in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we just sat there against the wall, just like drinking these warm 3-litre bottles of, you know, whatever it was, fucking old English cider.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, the old Bill was in there.
And I remember, they were all like that. I remember some of the tough kids like bombed it, like literally, like legged it out, like climbed out windows and stuff. And like, I think me and you just shit ourselves and just stayed there. I can't remember who else was there apart from me and you. I don't know if any of our other pals were there. Obviously, Maloney would have been, he would have run. And all I remember is like the police made everyone empty their pockets.
Yeah, and put, I know where you're going with
and
this.
And put all the content. Like, we was all sitting around the outside of the room, put all the content in the middle of the room. So everybody was, like, kind of, you know, this would have been, like, maybe very late 80s. Like, everyone was putting, like, their kind of, like, Mambo Velcro wallets in the middle of the room and, like, you know, and 10 Bensons. You had one of them retro money holders, didn't you, that you'd kind of buy in, like, Benidorm. Like in the 80s, where we all had one, and it probably like, you know, most people had like a little red one with like, you know, Benidorm or Crete like written on it. That was quite a nice size, it wasn't too intrusive. You had a very big one, didn't you? That was skin pink,
it was 9 inches and pink.
And I just remember you taking a sort of string off your neck. And then just putting this massive fucking cock in the middle of this room in front of all these tough kids and the old Bill just feeling really embarrassed. Oh, dear. I don't know if that kind of just ruined their stance on seriousness of what we was doing. And it was just like, oh, look, just fuck off.
Yeah, I
don't remember like anything coming of it.
No, at that dildo was a real icebreaker.
You still got that?
Hold on. It'd be up the loft around my mum's,
cool,
I reckon.
Cities. Cool,
I'll
cities.
Pull it out for you.
All right. So let's move on to films.
Oh, I ain't finished with music yet.
Ain't you? I'm sorry, no, mate.
No, I've had a little look through. Are you familiar with I Am The Beat by The Look?
No, I saw that in there, and at first I thought it was The Beat, but then they're also in the top 10 as well.
Yeah.
But no, maybe if you sing it, I'd know it.
I made the old man jump to his feet. I'm in demand, I am The Beat.
No.
Oh, do you know what? It's a fucking tune. It's a proper tune, but that was the only hit they had.
Right. I might know it. I will check it out.
It's worth checking out. It's a good tune. Sort of light-hearted. You know, like the Piranhas or...
Yeah.
Or something. Maybe not as light as the Piranhas, but yeah, it's a fucking tune. And January 81 had Visage Fade to Grey. Did we talk about that before?
No, we ain't, have we?
Yeah, that was just kind of coming into the charts.
God, what a belter that is.
Yeah, it's a cracker, isn't it?
Yeah, that that synth sounds really fat, isn't it? It's like, oh, so
and it's good. Atmospheric as well. You can picture that fucking lonely platform, can't you? Yeah,
that's a great opening line as well.
Yeah.
You ever met Steve Strange?
He liked a man on a lonely platform, didn't he?
As I said, have you met Steve Strange?
do you know what? One time when I was DJing in the gay clubs, Steve Strange done a PA there and done, what did he do? Did Fate of Grey, Mind of a Toy, and one other one that I didn't know. But yeah, you know, it felt like a proper fucking treat, even though it was just like singing the backing tracks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a proper treat. And then one time when I was touring round, I was staying in Porthcawl in Wales. It was just like, because I used to, like, when I was touring, I used to just try and get like a B&B by the seaside and then like drive inland to me gigs and then just fucking like spend the day by the seaside, like reading the paper on the beach, looking at ladies in their bikinis.
Eating chips.
and having chips and mushy peas on the beach. Yeah, so I was in Porthcawl in Wales and I just walked into the town to get myself some chips. And I've seen fucking Steve Strange, like full face of makeup. Like he must have been, like I suppose 50 odd, like full face of makeup, look fucking, you know, look fantastic, but just in like normal fucking clothes, helping his old mum do her shopping up the high street.
It's nice that people don't forget their roots, isn't it?
No. Do you know what?
In both senses of the meaning. He probably would have done his roots when he'd done his makeup and then takes his mum down the shops. That's lovely. That's a sitcom, isn't it? An old romantic.
The old romantic, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. You got any more records?
Yeah, I have actually, yeah. We talked about Adam and the Ants Amp Music last month, because it's obviously like it's a fucking great record, Amp Music. What do you reckon the worst Adam and the Ants record is?
Are you going to say Young Parisians?
No, I don't actually think that's that bad, Young Parisians. Yeah. I was going to say Amp Rap.
Yeah, that's not very good, is it?
It's not great, is it?
See, I think as much as he's super iconic and was absolutely pioneering, you know, Adam and the Ants. But I think Stuart Goddard? Like, Adam Ant.
Don't stew him out on here, fuck's sake.
But I think, and he's as good as said it, I think he just wanted to be famous. And I think at some point he just probably just thought, yeah, I'll do that. Like, I just want to be famous. He wanted to be a pop star. And
yeah, but to be fair to him, like, I reckon, you know, you could probably name in the 80s, you know, less than a dozen people who looked like they should have been pop stars more than him.
100%.
Like, he was a beautiful fucking bloke.
Yeah.
And, you know, and striking looking and had the fucking charisma and carried it off and had a handful of really good singles as well.
Because he didn't drink. Like, or anything.
He didn't smoke.
What did he do? But like, no, but he didn't, did he? Like, and I've seen interviews with him where he said, I just wanted to get it right. And you know, he wasn't bothered by the trappings of, I imagine, what the rest of the band and most other pop stars were doing at that point, just filling their boots and having a time of their lives. He was like super focused on being a superstar. And
also, you've got to be fucking, like, you've got to be fucking dedicated and have belief and resilience for, you know, to go to Malcolm McLaren, pay him some money to tell you how to become a pop star and then him just fuck off with your band.
Yeah.
Like, to start all over again like that and do it bigger and fucking better and poppier than you did before.
Yeah.
That's pretty cuntish, isn't it, fucking nicking someone's band?
It's really weird, like, McLaren, isn't it? It's like, obviously, he was smart. Simon Cowell's smart doesn't make them necessarily nice people.
No, he's a smart cunt, isn't he? The pair of them. Come on, you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I can say Simon Cowell's a cunt. He's a cunt.
Of course he is. I was just trying to think, if I had to think of five smart cunts, who else would be in there? Who's a smart cunt? Piers Morgan's a smart cunt. Yeah. Donald Trump's a smart cunt.
I don't know whether he is a smart... I mean, yeah, he's a cunt, and he's got to be... I mean, he's got to be smarter than he fucking comes across as. I mean, Boris Johnson's a smart cunt, isn't he?
Yeah. There you go. Next Christmas hit. Right, films that come out. I've had a look, and there weren't a lot that caught my eye. I don't know what caught yours.
I only see two that I'd heard of.
Same. Go on.
Well, Scanners, obviously.
Yes.
And I had every intention of watching Scanners so we could discuss it properly, because I have no fucking memory of the last time I saw Scanners. It must have been, like, it was in the 90s.
Yeah.
But the bit, obviously, you know, that everyone remembers it for, is one of them fucking moments, you know, that you just wore the pause button out on your remote control for, that bit where the bloke's head exploded, and you just want to capture the moment where they fucking swap the bloke for the dummy, and it goes, and it reminded me of, the woman in red, the Gene Wilder film.
No. No, go on, carry on.
Well, I'll tell you about it anyway. So okay. There's a very attractive model in that film called Kelly LeBrock.
Right.
And there's Gene Wilder has a kind of love scene with her. She gets out of the bed. So you're fucking such a cunt, right? She gets out of the bed, and just for a split second, you see a little bit of bush. And that was one of them things where you're like, wait for it, pulls. Oh, fuck, I've missed it. Like, she's covered it with a sheet. Right. Back, rewind.
I remember being around your ass, because obviously you'd always have you had a bigger telly, and it was in like a kind of TV unit like everyone had in the 80s. And I remember, like, you know, if we were going into town, I'd come and knock for you, and I remember, like, you'd put on them like Top of the Pops, like VHSs or whatever. And I remember being around yours. And is it Open Your Heart by Madonna, where she's got the basque on? Oh, no, it's Papa Don't Preach.
The nip slip. No, yeah. it was Open Your Heart.
And, like, and she's got this little basque on, and she does this kind of, like, march, and then flicks her head back, and one of her knockers pops out. And, like, pulls. And it was like, I'm banking that. Like, yeah. that was special, that was. And, well, I've got something that I want to sort of spin off onto that then, because I want to talk about... What was the other film? I'll get on to what I want to say in a little bit, but, like, what was the other film that you remembered?
The other film was The Howling.
Yeah,
that I definitely fucking watched, but have no fucking memory of.
So, aside from them two films, which I should say the covers of both of them are brilliant, and then. The link that I sent you, which kind of depicts all of the kind of videos that come out and films that come out there. But, and that was it. It was like most things was like zombies fighting and sexy stuff. And one of the things that typified that was there was a film or like a compilation film made by, I think, starring David Carradine, but it was also featured his brother Keith, I believe, and it was called The Best of Sex and Violence. And I just thought, well, that's probably going to do what it says on the tin. So that made me think, at that age, I remember we probably had our first video, which was a Betamax, and there was a video shop in our town called 2001 Video, and we had like an A4 bit of paper folded in half with like all, like, someone had typed out all of the names of the videos you could rent and photocopied it. And I remember looking through it and seeing things that I knew I weren't allowed to watch, and then like going down there like to the video shop and getting like a film out. And being like, just feeling like it was like the most exciting thing, going to this video shop to like hire a video. But I always remember, like, you know, I'd wait till my dad was like looking at something, and then I'd just like look up and just be like, "Phew." And I remember there was one I saw called Cousins in Love, and there was like this kind of like, kind of sort of smoky type kind of picture of this, like, this couple kissing. And I remember just thinking, oh, if I pick that up, am I going to get told off? So I just wanted to see if there might have been some knockers on the back that, like, if I flipped it over, I might have seen something a little bit more dirty. But never quite got to see the back cover of Cousins in Love. Any listeners that own a copy of that on DVD or VHS, let us know what was on the back of that.
So where was that video shop? Was that the one down the bottom of the hill?
As you went, when you got to the bottom of the hill, when you turned left to go around the one-way system, there was a tiny little building that's a hairdresser's now, I think.
Yeah.
And it was in there. Because there was the one at the bottom of the hill that we used to muck about in.
We always used to go in it. Because you saying that's reminded me about... Because I remember just, like, going in there and just, like, mucking about and looking at the films and, like... You know, there were some films that I see in there that I've never, ever seen, but I still remember the titles. I'm like... Jungle Burger.
Yeah, never saw Jungle Burger. I've spoke about it on many podcasts. It was like a Tarzan and Jane pastiche that involved like animated cocks and balls. And I remember just thinking, like, cool, I bet that's well good.
Yeah, it looked brilliant, didn't it?
Yeah. I think you can get it on DVD. I think it is available. Like, no, I mean,
was there
I
one
ain't
called
looked.
King Dong?
Yeah, no, King Frat. King Frat, was it?
Oh, it might have been, yeah.
Did King Dong exist? Because King Dong was like the bloke that passed out if he got a lob on.
Yeah, he had a 27-inch penis, and if he got even a semi, he just blacked out. And one time, he woke up with an hard-on and died.
That was the sort of shit.
There was no blood left in his heart. Yeah. It was all in his cock.
Whoa, way to go.
Oh, no.
Death by lob on. So the best of sex and violence. So let's touch on sex and violence. Can you remember your first fight?
Yeah. I had a fight in junior school. Like, I weren't a fighty kind of kid.
Yeah, but you are a stubborn prick.
But yeah, but I think I've become that. I don't think I always was.
Okay.
All right, yeah, so maybe I was. I don't know, but so I can't even remember what happened. But yeah, you're right, it was a stubborn prick kind of thing. And then the next thing I know, people had organised that I was going to have a fight over the dip-in, you know, where we used to play Cub football, on the centre circle of the football pitch with Paul Oakley. And Paul Oakley was quite new to the school, and he was quite handy.
He was handsome, didn't he? He had a couple of bob as well, didn't he?
Oh, he was because they had the biggest fucking house in the whole street. Yeah. And like, he was handsome, and, you know, and also, he was a nice bloke. And I didn't even really want to fight with him. Like, but, you know, like, there's always some little cunt.
It's out of your hands at this point, isn't it? Someone's told you got to do it. It's like, oh, right, oh, shit, all right then. Can't say no, otherwise you're a chicken.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be a fucking chicken, do you?
No.
It's better just to be repeatedly smashed in the face and be a chicken, isn't it? So we went... turned up over the dip in. I can't remember whether it must have been like an afternoon, because we wouldn't have been old enough to be out in the evenings, because we were obviously under 11. Like, I reckon we must have been like fucking 9 or 10.
I love an arranged fight.
Oh, do you know what? I was dreading it. I didn't want to fucking go, but you had to go. So I turned up over there. And then there was all kids stood around the centre circle. And I remember, like, he sort of threw a punch at me, and I sort of stumbled back, and these kids just pushed me back into the middle, like...
So old school, I love that.
Kids are so fucking feral, weren't they, when their mums and dads ain't around. Like, it's just like, it all goes a bit Lord of the Flies. And I can't remember, we were sort of grappling. You know that our old schoolyard fights went? You had hold of each other's shoulders, and you're both trying to sweep a leg round and trip the other one up. And then I thought I've tripped him up, but he's kind of turned and he's ended up on top of me. And I thought, oh, fuck. He's like, I'm going to get my head kicked in. And like, he started trying to punch me, but I managed to just get him off. And I just went crack and I hit him. And he just went, oh, me glands. Right.
Where did you hit him?
I just like in the jaw.
Oh, right.
And like, he said he had this problem with his glands. And so like, I stopped hitting him and he just went, oh.
Did you feel, I mean, you won.
Yeah, like someone held me handle off, but like it just I didn't feel pleased or anything. I just felt like I've just hit me mate and he's had to go home.
Yeah. I mean, you're like, still dining out on the glory now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll make myself a little plaque. Yeah, I'll put on a lamppost over there.
Oh, brilliant. I can't.
Yeah, what was your first fight then?
It wasn't even a fight. It was me just being a cunt. And there was loads of people at my secondary school in the first year. All picking on this bloke called John that was just the sort of scruffy kid and like, and in hindsight was just a nice bloke that was probably come from a very poor background. None of us had dough, but...
So you obviously stopped them all picking on him.
No, I stood there and laughed because I wanted to fit
stand
in.
Stand out.
And then I remember like leaning against a locker. And like, and someone sort of said something. I might even sort of kicked him up the arse, and I laughed. And I must have laughed at exactly the wrong time, because it was that kick up the arse might have been the thing that sort of tipped him over the edge. And rather than the bloke that kicked him up the arse, I remember he just turned around and smashed me in the mouth. And I'd never been punched in the head. It was like, up until that point, you'd done that judo thing where you just hold each other's shoulders and try and sweep each other's legs. But this was like, I've been punched in the face and it proper terrified me. And I was like, I didn't kick you up the arse. And like, and I think he at that point just probably realised I weren't a threat. And I remember just going back to like me class and everyone was like, yeah, Marshy just fucking done you. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be done. Like, but I also remember thinking, oh, I was a right cunt. Like, because I know what I've just said makes me sound like one, but I remember always thinking, I was never horrible. Like, I'd never have thought
You was.
I would have pushed you into Port Oakley. Hit him!
do you know what? That's one of the things, like, I don't have many regrets, right? But one thing I regret is just not fucking standing up for myself more, like with people that were cunts in junior school. Like there was this kid called Craig, whose dad was like a detective sergeant at the local police station, and like he just had that fucking entitled air about him, and everyone said he was the hardest kid in the school. But looking back, he was just a little prick, and I should have just fucking lumped, you know, I should have just fucking lumped him. And I remember one day him just being really mean. There was this, like, you know, like, because you sort of knew the poor kids, the kids that were really fucking poor, because where we didn't have school uniform, like, they'd have, like, little fucking knitted cardigans and stuff, and, like, it's quite heartbreaking to think of it. But there was this little kid, like, you know, fucking 2 years below him, and he was just being a right cunt to him. And this kid's gone to him, don't be a bastard. And he's gone to him, you're a fucking bastard because you haven't got a dad. And the kids just fucking stood there and cried. And like, I didn't do anything. I just remember thinking that's really horrible, but I didn't do anything.
Why was that? Was you too busy going, nice one.
Nice one. And high-fiving him.
But, you know, kicking him up the arse.
No, I think because we was nice kids and calm. I mean, I know, like, you know, how things have turned out. People might not think I've ever been that nice. But, like, because we was nice kids and our mums and dads was nice.
Yeah.
It was a shock to hear someone talk to someone like that because, you know, you think, why would you be so horrible to anyone?
Yeah. People can be cunts.
Yeah.
People can be sexy. So the best of sex and violence. So it's made me think, can you remember, like, your first, like, not sexual experience, but your first, like, core?
What, feeling sexy?
Yeah.
not off the top of my head, but like my dad, being a Essex builder, used to get the sun, and you know, and would just, you know, and it'd be left lying around in the toilet because he'd read it every morning having a shit because he was an Essex builder, and you know, and obviously if you leave the sun laying around, you only have to open the front cover.
Hello.
Yeah, hello there. So there was a lot of black and white knockers, you know, throughout my teenage years, you know, and I kind of got a little collection of them up, you know, kept stashed away. But like, I mean, this is like, it was fucking slim pickings in them days, like what we was talking about, pausing the Madonna video for the wank bang, and, you know, and pausing the Kelly LeBrock video. You only see a flash of her muff for a split second. You don't even see her labs or anything. Like, and like the idea that nowadays, like the idea you'd have a wank over something in black and white is laughable.
Yeah.
Because everything's so specific now. The idea you could wank over scraps like that nowadays, like those days are gone, my friend.
I had a summer job when I was probably about 14, and my old man at the time, like, had a little estate agent's business, and he ended up kind of like becoming like in with this kind of like the clique in this area in Tilbury, and there was like a sort of an industrial estate called Barter, and there was this kind of factory on there where people would, like, lorries would just empty all of these like cardboard boxes and bits of cardboard and stuff like that. And so I had a job for 6 weeks in the summer holidays because I wanted a bike. So my old man was like, you can get a job, you can buy a bike. And so, like, he'd go to work and he'd drop me there. And like, I'm sure I was about 14, and I was thinking, oh no, my summer holidays, I've got to work. And all I would do was, like, just get these like bits of cardboard and throw them in this like baler, and then it'd like, and feed these bits of like wire through it, and it'd bow these bowels of cardboard. And I think on like my third day, I started to relax a bit, to the point where I thought, I can probably have a work poo. And like, I remember sort of going in the cubicle, and I was like, Jesus Christ. And there was like 20 wank mags, like, just stacked. And like, I'd already sort of like got a cup of tea and stuff like that, and there was like nudie calendars.
Yeah.
Like, so I knew it was pretty liberal, but then when
in the old sense,
in the old sense, and then it was acceptable then. And then, like, just thinking, oh my God, I ain't touching them. Like, I don't know if I'm, you know, this feels too weird. And could I walked back out, and I remember saying to this fella called Eric, like, I went, do you know about all the dirty magazines in there? He went, yeah, mate. He said, fill your boots. And I thought, what does he mean by that? Does he mean go in there and fill your boots?
Stuff them in the shoes.
Or does he mean nick one, take it home? I presumed it was the latter, and I remember rolling one up and putting it down my jeans and sitting terrified in my dad's car on the way home that, like, something might happen where I got out and it fell out. I remember just sort of, like, awkwardly walking upstairs when I got in. Mum was like, oh, is your dad? I was like, yeah, fine. Leave me alone with you. And like, and just getting in my room and like literally unfolding like fucking, you know, whatever it was, escort or something like that. And just thinking, sweet baby Jesus, my new best friend. And like,
where did you keep it?
I had a board game called Perfection. And I remember taking like the plastic casing that held all the canters and that out of the box, lining the mag underneath it, and then putting it all back in on top of there. I was no fool, mate.
Perfection.
I imagine that box of perfection is in a charity shop somewhere, and one day someone's going to drop that and go, Jesus Christ. I can't even open it.
No, that would be fucking two grandparents get it for their grandkids to play with at Christmas.
I've told you about that, haven't I? When we got the What's VHS. That? Speaking of the best of sex and violence, when, like, me brother Billy, it was one Christmas, and, like, and Bill's, like, 8 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this like you don't know him, you know. He's your mate as well. And I remember it was, like, big family Christmas round ours. And me nan was always, like, she loved the market. She loved, like, if you ever got, like, a remote-controlled car, it was, like, massive, but it was, like, proper. You knew it was only going to last about a month. You know, you'd have to put about 300 batteries in it. And, like, yeah, it was just, like, everything was a little bit market. You never got branded goods. And I remember, like, I probably got some sort of remote control car. And my brother got something, and he also got this, like, this big cellophane-wrapped pack of VHS videos of, like, cartoons. And they were all, like, weird European cartoons, like, that you'd never heard of. That
Jungle
was,
Burger.
It weren't Jungle Burger. It was, like, it would have been, like, a pastiche of Jungle Book, but just, like, just really shit. Like, and for some reason, my brother was, like, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5, and he was like, put it on. And, like, you know, everyone had kind of had their roast, and then, like, I just remember my dad just, like, unpeeling these, like, VHSs and slinging one in, just to probably shut my brother up, who was being, like, a fidgety little kid. And I remember there was just, like, this really, really shit, like, graphics, like, you know, like, animation, like, Wotu Wotu Superbird or something like that. And I remember thinking, oh, my God. And then it just cut to, like, full-on fucking grot. And, like, my old man replicated that Partridge moment where he shuts the drawer. And, like, my old man just, like, threw himself, like, to hit the stop button on the video. I'd already had my eye full. I was like, is he going to throw that away? Because I proper want that. And, like, and obviously my mum and my nan were sitting there. My brother just looked confused. Yeah, a little bit of Christmas grot.
Oh, excellent.
Well, speaking of the TV, should we talk about some TV shows?
Yeah.
Well, I've had a little look through the planner that was what was on telly on a Saturday in January 1981. Have you had a look?
I did have a little look, yeah.
Anything sort of took your fancy?
Well, yeah, the first thing on BBC on a Saturday morning, facts. Football Association coaching, tactics and skills with Shilts.
I always wanted, did we talk about this? The goalie gloves, the yellow ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, proper wanted a pair of them.
Right. Who made you want them? Was it Shilts?
I think so. It would have been Shilts, Jennings or Corrigan.
Corrigan.
They were the England three, weren't they?
Clements.
Oh, Clements. Yeah, Jennings was obviously Ireland, wasn't he? Yeah. It was Shilton. No, it was Clements, Shilton, Corrigan.
Yeah, because Ron Greenwood, who was the manager in 82, didn't he go Shilton one game, Clements the next?
Did he?
Yeah. And like, because he couldn't make his mind up between them.
We're on our way. We are Ron's 22. Oh.
In a roar of the red, white and blue.
Oh, so good that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember thinking, I reckon that was my first like football record I ever heard.
And I remember, yeah, me too.
I remember thinking it was just brilliant and like hoping it'd be on Top of the Pops. And it always felt like whatever I was hoping to be on Top of the Pops never was. But, yeah, it's no point being England number three goalie. Like Joe Corrigan, no one really knew him as an England keeper, did they?
No, you're just going along for the ride being number three keeper, aren't you?
Yeah. I remember him being I remember looking at him in the stickers and thinking, oh, he's a unit.
Number three keeper, you're just wishing something really bad had happened to your two mates.
Well, on ITV at that point was Sesame Street.
Yeah, I used to like a bit of Sesame Street.
I thought it was brilliant.
I might have been too old for Sesame Street, but I still liked it. Do you remember that fucking... I remember me and you crawling along the parade on our hands and knees going, Agua, Agua. Agua.
That was probably where I learned Spanish, right?
Yeah.
And I remember it, like, just hearing him crawling, just going, Agua. And we would do that, wouldn't we? We would crawl.
Yeah, just crawl along the tarmac going, Agua. So I have to say, like, the first time I ever heard the word cunt...
It weren't on Sesame Street. He was a grouch, Oscar, but he weren't that angry.
I just hearing that word, I thought of the Count from Sesame Street, because that was all I could relate it to. And someone had gone to me like, I called that kid a Wally because he kicked the ball away, and he said to me, shut up, you cunt.
Oh, yeah. I always remember thinking the Count was a bit of a cunt. I remember just thinking he just looked too scary.
Well, I think vampires, by their very nature, are a bit cuntish.
Yeah. I remember just every time Big Bird turned up, I remember just thinking, oh, fuck off.
It's funny that, because you seem to be so attracted to Big Birds when we went out clubbing.
Well, things got more crackers as the morning unfolded with Tiswas. Any memories of that?
That was just fun, wasn't it, Tiswas?
Yeah. I can't remember anything. I just remember Lenny Henry doing Trevor McDonough. Can't remember Sally James doing anything. Cheggers was there, wasn't he?
No, Cheggers was on Swap Shop.
Oh, of course he was, yeah.
There was custard pies and stuff on Tiswas.
Phantom Flamflinger. That was his name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember thinking he was quite sinister because he was just like... Just this sort of black cloak with, like, this black hat on. And, like, you never saw him. You never saw his face. And I always remember thinking that's a little bit scary. And obviously, Tarrant.
We need to bring him back, the Phantom Flange Fingerer.
Was Carol G's part of that?
I think he was.
Was Bob Carol G's funny?
No, but his dog was.
What did his dog do that was funny?
Spat.
And? Because fast forward into the 80s, and I think when Cilla started, was it Surprise, Surprise, or something like that? Like, he was like almost like a kind of co-host, if I remember rightly. And I remember just thinking, like, why is Bob Carol G's on here? Like...
What's your problem? You had a moan about him the other month.
Did I?
I don't know what your problem... Yeah, I don't know what your fucking problem is with him.
I always remember thinking, like, he was quite a nice bloke. He just looked like an 80s dad with his moustache, didn't he?
Yeah.
Speaking of 80s blokes, Punchlines was on a Saturday night. Remember
what
that?
Punchlines?
Lenny Bennett. Yeah. I remember loving that.
I can't remember what the premise of it was.
I just remember
just
being
when
like,
you say punchlines, it pops into my head Lenny Bennett.
I just think, if I'm not mistaken, it was a bit like that Celebrity Squares thing. I remember there being loads of celebrities on it. Do you know what? I'm not going to dig into that because I don't remember that much about it. But prior to that as well, I should point out, On the Ball with Saint and Greavesy.
I fucking love Saint and Greavesy.
They were blokes.
That was a proper good show, Saint and Greavesy.
Yeah. I remember thinking that was like proper good telly. Like Greavesy was like one of your dad's mates that you want to hang around with, wouldn't he? It'd be like a fun uncle. And like, and Ian St. John was like, he was like the kind of, he held it all together, didn't he?
Yeah. But I like to laugh on there.
Yeah. Right. So if I'm not mistaken, Greavesy's still alive. He's poorly, isn't he? Did Ian St. John die?
No, they're still both all right, I think.
Oh, bring back Saint and Greavesy.
What, did Lenny Bennett die?
Oh, do you know what? I don't want to say yes, but I've got a little feeling he did. Carol G's must still be alive.
Died.
That, you've said that with such conviction, I know that's a lie.
No, he died, but like Spit just sits on his grave every day, like Greyfriars Bobby. Uh, Why can I imagine you putting that round someone's arsehole? And that was his blue act.
Oh, imagine that.
Spit.
Oh, wrestling followed that.
Oh, yeah. Like the old wrestling.
Oh, did you think it was real?
Yeah.
I did. I was completely convinced.
No, I didn't think it was real. It was real.
I remember, like, there'd be, like, there was a deaf wrestler. Can you remember him?
Well, yeah, we talked about this. It was, I thought it was Alan Kirby, but I think it might have been Alan Kilby.
That's right. Have we spoke about it on this podcast?
Yeah, we did. We did have a chat about the wrestling, because I said, who was your favourite wrestler? And you just went, Big Daddy, standard. And, like, obviously, it's fucking Big Daddy, isn't
it? The thing is, right, do you reckon Big Daddy was hard? See, I reckon Giant ASAP's could hold his own.
Yeah, like, I have to say, looking back on it, if you see the pair of them in a pub car park, your money'd be on ASAP's, wouldn't
it? Yeah. I ain't being funny. If you accidentally nicked Big Daddy's parking space and there was a big old, like, push on the Uter, oh, here we go, and you got out, and Big Daddy took about 10 minutes to get out.
Yeah.
And then when he did get out...
And he's in that Union Jack fucking swimsuit.
I think you'd just be like, sit down, Shirley.
Yeah.
Like, nah.
But if Haystacks got out, you'd hear that fucking music from Deliverance in your head and just fucking
bullshit. Right, okay, well, we're going to go from monsters to handsome men. Early evening, mate. Go on.
Can't we stay on monsters?
Yeah, go on.
I did see at 6:50 there was Jim Will Fix It.
All right.
So the write-up for Jim Will Fix It in the Radio Times was, what is your wildest dream? If it's unusual and original, write to Jimmy Savile, B.E. You may be one of the lucky ones. Someone's got to go back and revise that text.
Did you ever watch Magnum?
Was there a better 80s tash than Magnum?
Carol G's.
Carol G's.
Mickey Kerry Pierce.
McDermott.
Yeah.
Mickey Pierce. No, Mickey, better there'd have been a breeze and Mickey Pierce would have lost his tash.
Yeah. Do you like a moustache? You've had a couple. Like, I've always been a little bit impressed that you've gone for a moustache.
I'll grow a really shit moustache. So, like, Mickey Pierce is probably the best case scenario for me. Like, look at your fucking...
Right.
You've got a dense old bit of coverage there. And you've got a Selig.
I've got a big top lip. So, like, I can have a proper... I could have a proper big moustache. Can you remember the old man's moustache?
Yeah.
He had a proper Boise, didn't he? It was like, it was a solid moustache. And, you know, rarely do I ever get rid of my beard now. But if I do, you go for the goatee. Then you go handlebar moustache, Magnum, Hitler, clean shave. You have to experiment.
You need to do that with time-lapse photography. Put it on YouTube.
I mean, I don't ever remember watching an episode of Magnum. I like the idea of it. I probably like the opening credits, but...
I like the ice cream.
Yeah, I love a fucking Magnum.
What does he ice get a royalty cream? On that?
I'm not sure. I'll check the stats on that. 80s ice creams. What was you having when the ice cream man come round? Well, I mean, I always remember thinking, like, your parents had a couple more bob than mine. And I always remember thinking, like... Because my mum would often go... Oh no! Like I've got some lollies in the fridge, and it'd be them ones in them plastic things that they would have made out of like fucking weak squash. And thinking, fuck off! Like, Elaine over the road's got a fucking Popeye. Like, don't make me have this.
Or, do you know like, what? I like this idea that my parents have more bobs than you because you've got a fucking Millennium Falcon. I don't think
you had an Atari.
What did you have?
a Philips.
You had a fucking Commodore 64, you cunt.
Before that, I had a Philips VC 2000. Google that. That ain't great.
I had Pierre Cardin shoes that my mum had found at a fucking thrift sale. Roberto Bellini jumper.
Oh dear. Buck Rogers.
Oh, do you know what? Fucking, I did see that, right? I used to watch Buck Rogers, but I've got no fucking memory about it, apart from I just think of in 2000 and what would it have been like? I don't know, like 11 or 12 when I played the Edinburgh Fringe. This girl called Claire made us a stage outfit, and I only ever had two stage outfits made for us. And it was this girl that I met at one of the gigs in South London who was like, you know, like trainee fucking like fashion person. Yeah. And she made us this Baker Foil fucking stage outfit. And I always felt like Buck Rogers in it. Like I ended up having that. That was the time I had that fucking fist fight on stage in this fucking Baker Foil all-in-one stage outfit. Like it was just the most fucking ridiculous thing. But it made me feel a bit like Buck Rogers. But I have no fucking memory of any of the plots of Buck Rogers other than Buck Rogers wearing a silver fucking thing, whether he did or not, I don't know. And then that robot.
Twiggy.
What was it called?
Twiggy, I think. Biggy, biggy, biggy. He used to make that noise.
I have no memory, but I read the little...
There was write-up. A love interest as well, I believe.
Right, so the write-up said, Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Buck subjects himself to a mind probe to try and discover if a villain from his past is responsible for a sinister plot. As time runs out, Buck summons up memories of his greatest adventures. He also recalls the beautiful women he's encountered in the 25th century.
Ooh, sexy Buck.
It was great the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, after that was Bless This House. I don't know anything about that. Was that one of them ones that you're not allowed to like put on telly anymore?
That was Sid James, wasn't it?
Oh,
plain Sid. I don't remember the premise of it.
Was that like with Eric Sykes and all of that firm?
I don't know. Like, it was Sid James, wasn't it? But I don't know who else it was.
Yeah, I've never seen that repeated. Carry-ons are on all the time, so that does lead me to believe there might have been something in there that might have not been quite so correct anymore.
Oh, I don't know, but there's loads of 70s sitcoms that you never kind of see anymore.
Yeah.
Now, George and Mildred's never on anymore.
Oh God, I don't know if there was questionable stuff in that. See, that was one of them ones that, like, it always seemed to be on too late. I was never allowed to stay up late enough to watch that.
I saw George and Mildred, because that was a spin-off of something else. But, yeah, no, I used to like George and Mildred.
So one of the ones that was on that would follow Bless This House was the one that I was never allowed to stay up and watch, that I would get to school on Monday and everyone would be like, do you see The Professionals? And I was like, yeah, it's well good, wasn't it? and they're like, oh yeah, what bit did you like? Yeah, you know, that bit, yeah, you know, the bit when I shot him. And it was like, never watched it. I would hear the theme from my bed and just think, oh, that looks so good. And I'd see, like, who was... It was Bodian Doyle, wasn't it? So who was... It was Martin... Who was the one with the perm?
Lewis Collins.
Was
one.
Yeah.
Martin... What's his fucking name?
Fowler. Like, he... like, and I remember, like, just seeing him in that perm, in that leather, just thinking... Like getting out of like a speeding car in the credits, just thinking, you're probably the fucking coolest geezer ever.
That theme tune as well, it was a cool theme tune. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know what? I reckon, like, if I'd had a couple of drinks and you slung that, if someone put that on in a jukebox in a pub, like just before closing, I reckon a few people would have a tear up. I reckon you just get caught up in the moment and just be like, right, I'm going to roll over a table, knock a few drinks over.
That territorial pissings dance. That one.
Yeah, I just think, like, yeah, that's like that. That would just fuel the fire. That there's too much adrenaline and testosterone in the professionals theme tune. You can't escape it. Speaking of not being able to escape things, Sutcliffe was charged.
They caught him, didn't they? And then he admitted it the next day.
Yeah.
Did you know when they caught him, this never come out at the time, but it is true. I can see you looking sceptical already. But when they caught him, he was wearing like overalls, and under the overalls, he was wearing a V-neck jumper, right? But on his bottom half. So he was wearing like his legs in the arms of this V-neck jumper with the V on the front. So like he could just pull his overalls open and crack one off. And it never kind of come out in any of the court case because obviously he pleaded insanity, didn't he? And then got sent to Broadmoor. But because they couldn't prove that there was a sexual motive to it. I think I'm right in saying this. And then if that would have kind of come up in the evidence, which it didn't, that would have been the sexual motive. Obviously, like he had his free card trick ready, not confined by any pants, just sticking out the V of this jumper upside down on his legs.
But back in the 80s, surely like you would have had them old school pants that had the little gap that you could just pop your plonker through.
Yeah, but he needed it out quicker than that.
Okay. I love the fact you're trying to fucking make out you need it to be out of the blocks quicker than Wilbur Greaves.
Were there a Guinness World Record for it?
Oh,
like, I'll tell you what, say what you like about Sutcliffe. He was he was an horrible, evil man. But what he did was urgent. He had some urgent business.
How old was he?
How what?
How old was he?
How old?
Yeah.
I'd be guessing. No, I don't know. Like 30s.
Young to have a beard. Because now everyone's got a beard now. You know. I mean, I'm 47. I should have a beard. I'm an old man. But you know, you see all these young hipsters. You know, they've all got their beards, but. I just wonder, you know, beards and tashies, did that become a thing? Was that something that carried over from the 70s into the 80s?
So the question you're asking, to paraphrase it, is did he murder because he had a beard or did he have a beard because he was a murderer?
I think that's where I'm going with it.
He murdered because he had a beard.
It was a sinister beard.
Yeah. The beard made him do it.
I don't imagine they groomed their beards then. Like, if you look at, like, Claypole, you know, Sutcliffe, I mean, obviously, you've got a few songs about it. Who else was sporting the early 80s beard?
Birtles, Whiff, Stilgo, Haystacks, bloke who did finger bobs.
What was his name?
Fred.
No, Fred Harris didn't do finger bob. Fred Harris done chock-a-block and Fred...
He had a beard.
Oh, do you know what, like...
I'm not saying he did anything with it, but he had a beard, didn't he, Fred Harris?
Yeah, he was bloody lovely, Fred Harris. I hope he ain't dead.
Why, if your surname was Harris, did you have to have a beard? Fred, Bob, Rolf... Why does the surname Harris come with a beard?
It's really weird. I've got a mate that was in a band that knocked about of us lot, and his second name was Harris, and he went on to become a school teacher, and he overheard one of the pupils saying, "What you got next?" And the other went, "I've got PE." Who with? He went, "Oh, Harry Harris." Imagine that, being a teacher and hearing your nickname. Did you have nicknames for your teachers?
Yeah. Yeah, but some of them were quite inexplicable. We had a sort of an English teacher called Mr. Young, who was called Ashtray Head, which I presume was just because he had black hair with like some flecks of grey in it.
We had one Mr. Ellis, who was our metalwork teacher, and he had like a very, very square type, kind of silvery grey haircut that was very block like. And he was just, it would be like, oh, what you got next? Metalwork? Who you got? Oh, Lego. And it was just, it's just called Lego.
I love that. It's just their fucking name, isn't it? Like, we had a games teacher called, I can't even remember what his fucking name was. Dougie Ardon. Because he wore these fucking tight, like 1970s fucking tracksuit bottoms. And he always looked like he had a little semi in them. They were fucking up, like the games teachers at senior school were a proper sinister bunch. Like the girls one looked like Myra Hindley, and she used to watch all the girls in the shower. She was a fucking bit of wrong. And then like the boys ones were just, yeah, there was Dougie Ardon. Who was the other? Oh, there was another one called Killily, who he was just a fucking cunt of a man. Absolute cunts. But then they got moved on for whatever reason. And the two blokes that replaced them were like army blokes. You know, like fucking, I'm trying to think of like fucking.
Are you thinking of Windsor Davis?
No, not like that. But they were like, I'm trying to think of it like Tackleberry. But not as likeable.
Yeah.
You know, just but like treating kids' PE like a fucking military exercise. Yeah. Like, oh, fuck off.
That when you said earlier that like you wish you would have just told some of the kids at school like to fucking fuck off. I just think if I could have my time again, it'd be teachers. I'd just be like, oh, shut up. What? Shut up, you're boring. Like, I just love to just tell me teachers to fuck off. Because yeah, like half of them back then didn't have anything worth saying. And it was like, our PE teacher was called, well, for the first 3 years was called Spoonhead. And then in the third year we found out his first name. So we just then just called him Joe Spoon. Joe Spoon fell over at sports day once in the teacher's relay. And you could tell he was one of the teachers because he was a PE teacher, he wanted to win. And he was doing the home stretch and he took the baton and then he just stacked it at Thurrock Harriers at the big athletics track. And the whole of that stadium just went, "Ooh, Spoonhead!" Well, as we start to sort of wrap this up, Dynasty started this month. Did you used to watch that?
Nah.
Was your mum a power dresser? Did she have some shoulder pads back then?
Oh, fucking hell. Did she have some? She had some shoulder pads in the 80s. And she also had this perm. You know, like the box perm that looked like it had actually been fucking set in a cardboard box.
I always remember your mum having big hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She did have big hair.
But I always remember more in a kind of Farrah Fawcett, like wavy way.
Yeah, she did always. That was the normal look. But
volume time, was the word.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, she had this box perm one time. It was very, very tight curls. I don't know who you'd kind of compare it to. Maybe like Harold Schumacher.
Gene
if
Wilder.
You can picture Audrey Roberts from Coronation Street with Harold Schumacher's hair. Perhaps someone could Photoshop that, and that would be my mum in the 80s.
If I'm right, Dynasty followed Dallas.
I don't know. I never really got into any of them.
I remember like watching like, I think, do you know what? I can't remember much about Dallas, but I remember like the whole Who Shot JR thing being like, you know, this massive like global thing. And I remember like Dynasty. I remember like Crystal Carrington. I remember Linda, whatever her name was. I remember that. and
Robson,
Linda Robson, and I, she was head of the family, Linda Bellingham. And I remember I don't remember much more about it. I just remember Dynasty and Dallas both had just really good theme tunes. TV shows ain't got theme tunes like they did back in the 80s, have they?
No.
If you had to pick one 80s theme tune. Do you know what, right? I'm just going to quickly touch on
it. Why did you say that in the style of...
That guy. If men with machine guns come in now, and you had to.
What a horrible mental image of painting.
All it was, what made me think of that was yesterday... We was about to have Sunday dinner, and my wife went, Ski Sunday. And straight away...
Beep, 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 that one.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. Ba-ba-ba-boom, ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-boom, ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And I just thought, I wish I would have known that was on, because I would have watched that and then turned it off.
What was Dallas and Dynasty? What was beep, 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 beep,
Dallas.
Beep, beep, beep. And what was Dynasty? Do you remember?
No, I can't remember.
What was the theme tune to Malk and Mindy?
It's fucking brilliant. Yeah, fucking brilliant. Like Cagney and Lacey. Can you remember? There was a lot of sacks back then, wasn't there?
Cheers is a good theme tune.
Right, so let's talk about that, because can you remember on your BMX, and you would have been about fucking 6'8" at this point, and probably had pubes. Can you remember cycling down Hathaway Road, and you was singing the Cheers theme tune at the top of your voice? Can you not remember it?
No, I can't remember that. But we used to walk around singing a lot, didn't we?
But it was the Cheers theme, and in my head, all I can hear is the Golden Girls theme now. But it wasn't. How did Cheers go?
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Getting a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
You
ba,
had.
Ba, ba. And they're always glad you came. Ba, ba, ba. You want to be where people see the troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. It's nice, isn't it? I mean, not when I do it, obviously. But
I remember you being way too big for your BMX, bombing down Hathaway Road. You had a massive set of headphones on and you were singing that really loud. And I just remember a bloke went past in a car and down his window and told you, shut up.
Do you remember me? I see you across the road. You know that fucking classic thing of when kids get killed? They see their mate across the road and just fucking cross without looking. And that was me. I had my massive fucking headphones on my BMX. And I see you across down by the ship along by the Broadway. And I see you across the road. And I just fucking went across the road on my BMX. And that bloke in an Escort fucking Mark III just done an emergency stop and just went to me, you stupid fucking cunt. Like I had these big headphones on. Sorry, mate.
Oh, fucking brilliant. The DeLorean. They manufactured the first DeLorean.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a thing of dreams, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? Is there a better 80s film than Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah.
What is it?
Woman in Red. There's this bit, right, where if you...
Yeah, that is what it's lacking, is just like a little bit of beef curtain.
Do you know what? I love the first Back to the Future. I think it's fucking amazing. But I do think there's better 80s films.
I'd like to hear them.
Police Academy.
Police Academy, obviously. Breakfast Club.
Yeah, I was going to say Breakfast Club. But I don't know. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Goonies.
Yeah, but do you know what? I just think fucking I think Back to the Future's got everything. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, me throwing other ones in the mix, he's not taken away from the fact that it is perfection, that film.
I mean...
Am I right in saying at the end, is his girlfriend Elizabeth Shue?
It is, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had a little bit of an Elizabeth Shue off the other day, didn't we, having our little stroll? Love her.
Yeah, she was nice, Elizabeth Shue, wasn't she?
Still is.
Yeah.
We was talking about, well, Cobra Kai was the reason we discussed it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Still ruddy, bloody lovely. Diddly, 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 a lady. And yeah, just to finish up, also, Reagan was is it inaugurated, the word?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Mm, 40th president, I believe. What are your memories
You've
done
of your research?
What are your memories of Ronald Reagan? I remember thinking he just seemed like a nice bloke.
He did, yeah, like just this kind old man, you know. But like, probably most of the memories are, like, I think we touched on this, are from Spitting Image, just about, you know, him, you know, because obviously on Spitting Image he was portrayed as just being this doddery old cunt who had no fucking idea what was going on.
Yeah.
But he just seemed like a lovely old man.
Yeah.
You know, from whatever we worked out as kids.
I don't think I really understood politics at all. I remember just thinking, like, oh, he looks all right. And that was it. Like,
yeah, a kindly face would go a long way, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I remember seeing Arthur Scargill and thinking, what's he bloody angry about? And like, just having no idea at that age of like what was going on. And I remember thinking, like, he seemed really angry. And I remember like me dad would be ranting at the telly about Thatcher. So I instantly just had that kind of, I hate her. And I hadn't really thought about it. I just thought, oh, where we come from, you're not allowed to like her. And that
but
was
I never got that feeling at all, like, because I think where my dad went and worked for himself, you know, like, that's how Thatcher divided the working classes, by sorting out the aspirational people, you know, from just the kind of regular working classes, and just that fucking that divide and conquer. And so, you know, in my house, like, you know, there was like, probably my mum's family were conservative voters, and my dad probably got one round of that because he was like, you know, starting out on his own. So I don't think, like, they weren't very political, my mum and dad, but, you know, it was that 80s Essex thing of look after yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and it took me a long while to fucking work out it ain't really all about that, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd maybe cast your mind back and remember them times and just think, oh, how good was that, you know, sitting there in me fucking Pierre Cardin shoes playing Frogger on me Atari whilst fucking shoes across the road.
Playing with his Millennium Falcon and Commodore 64.
I wouldn't have been. I would have been playing...
And looking at his wank bag.
I would have been playing Perfection, panicking that my mum and dad might fucking take the plastic casing out and see fucking Denise from fucking Bristol. Loved the Reader's Wife back then. Oh, dear. We done?
Yeah, I think that's January 81, isn't it?
I think so. I think so. And thanks for listening. And, we'll be back next month for some more natter, right?
Yeah. See you next month.
Bye.
Bye.
Remembering when we were young in the 80s.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.